Sportsnet.com.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Oh, it was the same old tug of war in Washington. Just when you thought the politicians were taking a break, it keeps on ticking, doesn't it? Even when they're off doing other things, there's still enough people left behind. So here's the thing. Obama ultimately, I think, gives in and had to because it was a question of dueling dates. If you're completely lost in what I'm talking about, let me rewind and explain. It really was a battle of holding out and deciding who sort of wins. And I'm not really sure who sort of wins. We lose on all accounts, probably. September 7th in California, there is a debate, a Republican debate, and it will include Rick Perry, the Texas governor, who is now a candidate for president on the Republican side of things. And the president had requested a speech for that very same day. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, said, well, how can we do that? You know, this is going on. So no was the answer. He didn't flat out say no, but he didn't want it. He asked that it be changed. And the White House kind of was going back and forth on this whole thing. So now, as it turns out, Obama will give his speech on the 8th. And when he gives that speech on the 8th, it'll be in front of the joint chambers, meaning the House and the Senate, and, of course, to the American people. And it's supposed to be about jobs and getting Americans back to work and growing the economy and finding that bipartisan, I'm sick of that word, bipartisan solution. And it'll come after these numbers that I think are going to be great, August unemployment numbers that'll be thrown out there like raw meat on Friday. So now what is this plan going to entail? A lot of PR spin. That's what it's going to be. So the timing is interesting because, you know, the jobs debate, all that stuff is going to be part of what Congress will be talking about when they come back from the summer recess. So here's how it went down. You want to hear the details? This is like TMZ. Let's give you the details. The White House released a letter at noon from the president to Boehner and to Harry Reid, by the way, requesting that they convene a joint session of Congress for his address that he wanted 8 o'clock Eastern time on September 7th. So usually when that happens, usually the presidential request to address Congress, they're just granted. That's just what happens. They consult, they say, yeah. But in this case, the White House notified the Speaker of the House's office on the same day they released the letter requesting that session. So what happened was, because it was sensitive, Boehner's office at first didn't object. They didn't say anything. They just took it in, and that was it. But then Boehner, in a formal reply, said that the House isn't even going to return until the day that he wanted to speak, and that security and parliamentary issues and all that kind of stuff would be a huge problem, and that the House and the Senate each would have to adopt a resolution to allow a joint session for the president. So, yada yada, they went back and forth. It ended up getting resolved 9 o'clock at night, after 9 o'clock at night, and the White House said that, okay, I'll give my speech the day after. So I won't push on the 7th. Let's just make it on the 8th. But the 8th is also the NFL's first game of the season, New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers, which should be a large chunk of the TV audience. So the president had some interesting things to say about political gamesmanship and a few other things. Take a listen.
At a time when a lot of people in Washington are talking about creating jobs, It's time to stop the political gamesmanship that can actually cost us hundreds of thousands of jobs. It's unacceptable when countries like China are building high-speed rail networks and gleaming new airports, while more than a million construction workers who could be doing the same thing are unemployed right here in America.
Well, you know, here's the thing. What he says is true when he's talking about China and how they're surpassing us. And, you know, pretty soon, China is going to be the most powerful country on the face of the earth, not the United States of America. However, that's something that's been echoed again and again and again. We can find tape of that. So that's nothing new. Whether it's the rail system, their military, whatever it is, they're headed in a very aggressive direction, let's say. And we're headed in the opposite direction. I have one funny thing that came from the senator from South Carolina, the Republican senator, Jim DeMint. And what he said is he would object if Obama insisted on making his address on Wednesday, because he said, I'm planning to watch the Republican primary debate on the 7th, and the president should watch it too. So there was that kind of Twittering and Facebooking and all that kind of stuff back and forth about, you know, who, what's going to happen on Wednesday, what's going to happen on the 7th, what's going to happen on the 8th. And like I said, ultimately what it turns out is that they're going to be two different times, and, you know, that's it. One of the things that we know that is going to be heavily pushed when the president talks to the nation, he's going to talk about increasing hiring. Again, a familiar theme that we've heard before, and using tax incentives for businesses and government spending for public works projects. So what's happened is he's asking all the departments to push up the public works projects and use what money they have available to push to hire people and to get them done and have them going by, you know, in the next 18 months. What would happen with the payroll thing, that he's asked for extensions of payroll tax cuts for workers and jobless benefits for the unemployed. So that would cost about $175 billion. And with the sluggish recovery that we're having, the plan would certainly have some consequences for many Americans. But here it's more about, I think, politics on both sides of this and the whole thing with the jobs thing in the first place. So one of the things being considered is the credits again for businesses that expand the payroll. So you hire more people, you get the credits. You hire more people, you get the credits. And we've played that tune out a few different times. So they're also looking at school construction, renovation stuff. That's, they say, of up to $50 billion. And I think a lot of the focus of that speech is going to be centered on that. It's going to be centered on that for sure. So what's interesting is joint sessions, in case you didn't realize this, of Congress are usually reserved for the State of the Union address. But the president, this president, did speak to a joint session in September in 2009, and that was about health care legislation. So that was trying to press that agenda. Now it's going to be about pressing the whole job agenda. How do you think that will go over? I don't know. I don't think it's going to go over all that well. Stay with us. We're going over to the next segment. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Alan Olson with Midas Resources, senior gold and silver broker since 1978. Over the last 3,000 years, gold has been a storehouse of wealth and has survived nearly 500 paper fiat currencies. Since the 1970s, the fiat U.S. paper dollar has lost over 90% of its purchasing power and is decreasing every day. With the U.S. government that is bent on reckless spending, gold and silver are your only safe havens of protection for your hard-earned paper dollars. Please contact me, Alan Olson, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 127, with your questions or purchases. Let's work together to preserve your assets. 1-800-686-2237, extension 127. Again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 127.
Already 2011 is a record-breaking year for disasters. Are you prepared? Your family is your most precious asset. Could you feed them in case of emergency, food shortage, or job loss? At eFoods, we offer delicious ready-made meals. Cheesy chicken and rice casserole, beef stroganoff, chili with dumplings. With the longest storable shelf life and easily prepared in minutes by simply adding to boiling water. Get your 6 free meals by just paying a small shipping fee. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoods. Foodsdirect.com/Alex. Stored in sturdy containers to grab and go in an emergency. Emergency food at guaranteed lowest prices. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsdirect.com/Alex. Order your 6 free meals now and get free shipping on all other orders. Hearty, affordable food. Try it for flavor. Buy it for life. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsdirect.com/Alex. Get your 6 free meals shipped today.
Shake things up, and it could be 2012. Just toss them all out. Another house cleaning. Who knows? Maybe that'll work, right? Dale is listening to us in Illinois. Dale, you have the honors. Hello.
Oh, hello. Thank you very much. I don't want to be in your book. I just want a free copy.
Of course, everyone wants a free copy now. It's like Donovan said, it's my fault. I should have never said that.
I was, it's a no-brainer for me whether I'm going to watch a football game or listen to President Obama. And it won't be him, because we're going to hear the same song and dance we've heard before. I wouldn't even be a bit surprised if there isn't some government spending in this. With money we don't have, and it just never ends with this guy. Again, we're back to the same basic principle, the redistribution of income.
Yeah.
A lady a while ago talked about, you know, taxing the wealthy. Well, the wealthy pays 70% of the taxes in this country. That's not the issue. We spent more money than we take in. And President talks about China and all these big projects they have with high-speed rail. Well, they don't treat their people very well. I understand that. But they're not facing a trillion-dollar health care plan that probably isn't going to work anyway. So you know, tax incentive. What's that going to mean now, Kate? What? I mean, are we going to reduce taxes on business so they'll hire again?
Yeah.
You're 18 months too late, Mr. President.
You know what? That's it exactly. 18 months is the key thing, because 18 months is re-election time, and it's 18 months too late. Absolutely. That this was talked about before. It's been talked about before. It's been done in a half-assed manner, to be honest. And you're right. It's just simple economics, and all of us know it because we live it in our own lives. You can't keep spending and not, I mean, just can't keep spending the way they're spending, like a drunken sailor that's on leave after 2 years of being at sea, that you can't do it.
Well, we have a capitalist system, Mr. President. We don't have a socialist system. That's what you're trying to create for our people is a socialist system. We're not buying it. We didn't get great doing that. So please stop doing it.
Yeah.
And let's get on with having business, know what the cost of business is going to be so we can hire some people and get people back to work again. And I have no faith in you anymore, Mr. President. You haven't done a thing for us. But try to even the playing field as far as redistribution of income and giving money to people that haven't earned it and taking it from people that have. Please stop doing that.
Yeah, and I don't think it gets high approval ratings anyway for certainly anybody who's looking to get reelected. All good points. I agree. It goes back to the main thing that all of us have said. Thank you, Dale. You got to buy a copy of that book. You got to stimulate my economy, by the way.
So, no.
It's Amazon.com, level the playing field. We keep saying the same thing over and over again. I wish I could come up with a sexy, great new angle on this. I've talked to economists. We've had people on the show. And there's two ways to look at it. And you either are looking at it the cockamamie way, or you're looking at it the way that makes sense and has nothing to do with political parties. It's just simple economics. And I said this a long time ago. We have incredibly smart people in this country. We're not a nation of dummies and idiots. So if we have truly sound economists, and we do, where are they? Bring them in. Have this discussion. Figure it out. And the problem is, and this is probably it. Well, there's two problems. One, it's about re-election. It's about getting elected. And that's the name of the game in politics. We've said that before. The people around the people who are running, they want them to win at all costs. That's the whole thing. It's just a machine. So they tiptoe around the thornier issues and try to get through it to get elected again. I'm not even just talking about the presidency. I'm talking about across the board. And this is where we always stub our toe. And the fact that you constantly just operate without a budget, how is that? How doesn't everything just stop and you say, okay, wait a second, we don't have a budget, we can't do this anymore, so then we're going to have to cut, figure it out, whatever we have to do. We can't keep doing that. If I had a business and I operated that way, I wouldn't have that business anymore. Because what would happen? We'd go out of business. That's how people go out of business. And that's what the government's in the business of doing, I guess. It's trying to shut us down, trying to go out of business. And because this has been happening over and over and over again, you get that crazy $15 trillion number. And it's probably even more than that. $15 trillion. How do you make all that money up? Drastic measures. I mean, and this is something that didn't have to kill everyone when it was a little bit over, when we were a little bit over, a little bit in the red. But now it's ridiculous. I mean, we're covered in red. How do we wash that red off of us and get back into the black? And the answer is that we've wasted way too much time, and these serious discussions should have been happening all along. That's why the push for the amendment to have that balanced budget, which seems ridiculous to some people, but if you could just get enough people on board, then it has to become the reality, and that's it. There are no choices. This is the reality. This is it. All right, the reality is that General Petraeus is now moving on, of course, as all of you know, to head the CIA officially. So militarily, that's it. I mean, that's it for Petraeus. And Petraeus talked about what a great honor it was. He talked about full culpability and a few other things, too. He seemed a little bit choked up, actually, when I caught a glimpse of him earlier in the day. But here's Petraeus.
We will need to maintain the full spectrum capability that we have developed over this last decade of conflict in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. It has been the greatest of honors to have soldiered with our nation's new greatest generation in tough but important endeavors for the bulk of that time. I can imagine no greater honor.
All right. Well said. So now the switch to the CIA. One quick Mother Nature note here, because it really wouldn't be America Tonight if I wasn't mentioning some catastrophe in some part of the United States. You know, we had that earthquake back east a week and a half ago, whenever it was. It was less than 2 weeks ago. And it was such a crazy thing where people could actually feel it in Philly and New York and felt like kind of a swaying sensation. So now you have this. You have word that there was a little mini quake that was recorded in the Adirondacks near the Canadian border, too. And they're talking about 3.4 magnitude, too. Wow, is this going to become like the normal thing? We're going to have these quakes pop up in places where you don't expect them. And think of that. What was the one that hit the East Coast? 5.8. So now this next one was 3.4. Seems like nothing. However, if you were close to where it hit, it would definitely feel like there was some swaying going on. It's a very odd sensation when you are somewhere near an earthquake. One final note, thank goodness they're cleaning things up in Vermont and rescuing the people and getting them food and the supplies that they need, hopefully by the holiday weekend, even though it'll be still all that damage to deal with, at least they'll be dry in Vermont, in New Jersey, and in Connecticut, right? Stay with us, we're going to the B-side.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network. Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas.
Come Right Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Here on America Tonight, you know I'm a big fan of the automobile, but did you know I also have a thing for Jeeps? I really do. Although I've never owned one, it's the strangest thing. In my single days, I dated two different guys who had Jeeps, and I had a cousin who had a Jeep, but she lived in Philadelphia, and I used to tool around in it, and I used to think I was so cool in this Jeep because it was easy to find parking. Parallel parking with a little Jeep. It's like an old army Jeep. It was so easy. So everybody always wanted to ride with me. How fun to have David Colley, the editor-in-chief at AOL Autos, on with us to talk about the Jeep. What is it about the Jeep? Is it truly an American icon?
It absolutely is. And, you know, it was the hero of World War II. General George Marshall, in fact, called it indispensable to winning the war. And the roots of the Jeep and the Jeep brand are interesting. When we were building up for the war, even before Pearl Harbor, the War Department, as it was known then, realized that they didn't have kind of an all-purpose vehicle for the armed services. And now they're looking ahead and seeing that they're going to have battle theaters in Europe and North Africa and the Pacific and these Pacific islands. And if in those days, in 1939 and 40, if you wanted to move a gun placement from one place to another in a battlefield, you were pretty much looking at a wagon and a mule to do because trucks, you know, and they use trucks and things like that, but you can't always use a truck in a battlefield. And if you wanted to send a soldier on a reconnaissance patrol, that kind of thing, in fact, the original sort of request for proposal on this military vehicle specified that it was a reconnaissance vehicle. So, you know, if you wanted to send one or two people, you know, somewhere to gather intelligence, do reconnaissance, you know, they either had to do it on foot or a big truck. And, you know, in World War One, which was the war obviously before World War Two, they were still using a lot of horses in those days. So they put out this proposal, and they sent it to over 100 companies. That's the other thing. You have to remember, in 1940, there were a lot more car companies operating in the country, and only two actually sent proposals back. One was the Bantam Motor Company in Butler, Pennsylvania, and the other one was the Willys Overland Company. And this little company in Pennsylvania actually had the winning design for what became known as the Army Jeep, the Willys Jeep. And the reason it's the Willys Jeep is because while the Bantam company came up with the design, they were almost bankrupt and couldn't be relied on to build the thing. So the government turned over the design to Willys and to Ford. And so between those two companies, between Willys Overland and Ford, they built over 600,000 Jeeps during the war.
Wow, I had no idea about that. It's true because it's maneuverable, too. Like I said, I mean, of course, you're talking about a war situation versus parallel parking in a different kind of war on the streets of Philadelphia, but it's maneuverable.
Yeah, I mean, I drove an original 1940s Willys Jeep recently. It's really cool because it's completely bare bones, and it was designed to take a beating, and I felt like it would be hard to actually hurt this thing. It was so durable and so it was a ball to drive. And you know, you talked about your Jeep. I imagine it was the Jeep CJ.
Yes.
And what happened after the war is that a lot of servicemen were exposed to the Jeep, and so the Overland Company said, you know, we got all these customers and built-in customers and these people who like the brand and like the vehicle. Let's build some civilian vehicles. So one of the things they built was the civilian version of the Army Jeep, which became known as the CJ. And then today, the car that is kind of the direct descendant of that is the Wrangler. So there's a straight lineage from today's Wrangler to that original Army Jeep.
Why did they call? And I didn't even think about this until I knew I was going to have you on. Somebody asked me the answer to this, and I didn't know. Why was it called a Jeep? Did it have a different name?
Well, you know, this is one of those debates and arguments that's like the Loch Ness Monster. People, there are two prevailing stories, and each story has its own, its own followers. One is that the code name for the vehicle was actually the GPW, I believe, and so that just got shortened to Jeep. And then the other story, believe it or not, is that there was a character in the Popeye comic strip called Jeep, and somehow that connection was made that people started calling this thing the Jeep. I tend to favor the former, but since I wrote the stories for AOL Autos about the 70th anniversary of Jeep, which we're celebrating this year, and in fact this summer, I got all kinds of comments on both sides, you know, each supporting, each story. So it's hard to pin down.
Yeah, it's funny. We started this off and you told us the history, you know, talking about war and why it was developed. And the funny thing is, and it's the first thing that struck me when I got a note on this, is Italian. And then I didn't even think then somebody said to me, yeah, hello, German company, German, Italian. It is pretty funny if you think about it long enough.
Well, what you're talking about is the fact that, you know, the Jeep really came of, it was invented for World War II, which we were victorious and defeating the Germans and the Italians and the Japanese. And in the last 12 years or so, Jeep has been mostly owned, because Jeep is part of the Chrysler Corporation today.
Right.
Jeep has been mostly owned by Daimler, the German company, which manufactured a lot of German army vehicles for World War II and German tanks. And now it's owned by Fiat, the Italian automaker. And Fiat actually was the manufacturer for most of the Italian military vehicles for World War II. But what's interesting is that I've covered the industry for a long time, and I can tell you that in both eras, the Daimler Chrysler era where they own Jeep and now the Fiat era, they are big, big enthusiasts of Jeep. They love Jeep as a brand. They love Jeep vehicles. Jeeps, in fact, there's a huge following of Jeep in Europe because what happened was after the war, a lot of Jeeps got left behind. And so they were either sold off as surplus, or in some cases they were just kind of, found or taken over by refugees. And so one of the biggest Jeep enthusiast clubs in the world is actually in Germany.
Really?
Yeah.
So they get together or they might have all kinds of vintage Jeeps and whatnot?
They do. That's exactly right. And you know, what's funny is that Volkswagen actually manufactured the German equivalent of the American Jeep, and they call theirs the Kubelwagen. And just a point of interest since we got into Germany is that the engineering platform, kind of the guts of the Kubelwagen, was actually the guts of the Volkswagen Beetle. When Germany went to war, they had the Beetle in development. But then, you know, they suspended production of passenger cars, so they took the engineering bits and started making these military Jeeps. And then that Kubelwagen, that German Jeep, showed up on American shores. Some of your listeners will be old enough to remember that Volkswagen sold a vehicle called the Thing, the Volkswagen Thing.
I remember that.
In the early 70s, and that was the Kubelwagen and basically the German Jeep.
Yeah. Do you think Jeeps are, you know, like you were talking about now, the Wrangler, do you think Jeeps are popular? Are they making a comeback? Are they, you know, what is it, how does it rank among vehicles?
They've done very well, and they're doing quite well in terms of sales. Their newest vehicle is the Grand Cherokee, which is really terrific. I have to say that the previous generation of Jeep Grand Cherokee, which is, you know, a big, comfortable SUV, was very popular in the 90s and into this century, over the last decade. The last generation was not my favorite, but, boy, this one that's marketed now, the 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee, is absolutely terrific. There's a couple of other Jeeps, the Jeep Liberty, Jeep Compass, and the Jeep Patriot. And right now, Fiat is, and of course, the Wrangler. And one of the things that kind of reignited the Wrangler a few years ago is they introduced a four-door. Because one of the things that people always kind of held people back from buying a Wrangler was the short wheelbase. It was not very comfortable to drive on roads. And, of course, no back doors and all of that kind of. So they kind of made a longer version, gave it four doors. And it really jolted sales forward because you got all those Wrangler lovers that, you know, sort of had the, you know, lost their excuse not to buy it.
Sure, and with the kids and everything else, and that's easy there. Or older people trying to cart people around and whatnot. Then you got the four-door thing going on. That makes sense to me. David Kiley, you were a delight. Can we have you back on the show again?
Absolutely. Anytime you like. Any automotive topics you want, I'm game. I love radio.
All right, David Kiley, the editor-in-chief at AOL Autos. Go to AOLAutos.com. You can check out his stuff. Thanks, David.
You're very welcome.
Jason Lewis here. You know, we talk daily about all the crazy stuff going on, concerns with the economy, job loss, natural disasters. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for you and your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dried meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Company entrees are packaged in individual individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample. Also, for a limited time, go to wisefoodstorage.com and enter promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com, promo code Lewis, and don't forget to request a free sample. Wisefoodstorage.com, gourmet emergency food at the best price.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I filed from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep.
Friends in the Northeast are dealing with swollen rivers that are beginning to fall, thank goodness. So you got relief crews that are able to help the people in some of those small Vermont towns and in New Jersey and whatnot. That's great. So that's starting to peel out. In other words, you know, the water levels are going down. That's great news. But what about some odds and ends from around the country? The buzz in your backyard. One of my favorite things to do. Well, here's something that created a ton of buzz. How about this? Rye Playland, did you hear about this story? Was shut down the other day because police actually got into it, described as a scuffle with some Muslims that were upset that women wearing headscarves were barred from the rides, right? There were 15 people, and that included three women that ultimately, because of this whole thing, were charged with disorderly conduct. Now, I'm going to reveal something to you that you're going to laugh a little bit about this. I used to work when I was in college and I came back for a summer, I decided I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to make tons of beer money for school. So my way to do that was I worked in a doctor's office, and then I had a friend that talked me into working at an amusement park in Jackson, New Jersey. It's a really big one. And working at that amusement park, one of the things they didn't allow is anybody with hanging things, any kind of scarves, and I guess that would be head scarves, because they were afraid at least the ride that I had where people came down in those gondolas, you know, when they were going around the park, because you could get them caught in the doors and stuff. So they didn't allow that. Now, Ride Playland, it had to be shut down because it got so nasty. And it really was over that. Now, this park, this amusement park, is in Westchester County. So, you know, we're talking about New York. And it was packed with a lot of Muslim folks. They were celebrating the end of the holy month for them, Ramadan. And there was a lot of arguing going on about the rule about wearing the headscarf. And they decided the ban happened at this park. And I double checked this myself, right? The ban is not Muslim specific at all. And because I worked in the park for a short time, and that's another story, because I worked in the park and they didn't allow that. And this was, you know, 15 years ago, this same thing with this amusement park. It's not surprising to me because what would happen is hats and stuff would fall into the roller coaster tracks. And a couple of times it got dangerous. So anything with headscarves or any of that stuff wasn't allowed. So sadly, this is a case of the park was right and the cops were right. And the Muslims who were celebrating, they were wrong. They weren't wrong to dress however they were dressed, coming in celebrating or doing whatever they would normally do. But that's the rule. It's not, it wasn't some kind of thing that was slammed upon them. It wasn't like France barring the headscarves or the hijab. It's not that. It simply is something that they've always had in place. So now it's become this where some of the people there are saying, oh, the cops beat us up and this is wrong. We were pushed into the ground, all this other sort of stuff. And they're trying to say, look, we just wanted to get on the rides. This has only happened because we're Muslim. That's the only reason that it happened. So you're forcing the chief inspector of Westchester County of public safety, right, to come down and get in the middle of this and reply. And he's saying that the police didn't use excessive force. And, you know, you had 100 cops from other departments that came to the park. And there were a couple of people that got bruised and stuff, and it was, of course, ugly in this assault thing that happened. But you had the event was put on by the Muslim American Society of New York, okay? You had 3,000 Muslims from Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, and Westchester. And now what's happening is some of the people are trying to say that they were tackled and put into handcuffs and all this stuff. So the melee that ensued, you know, that would be individual what happened. But the headscarf rule, I'm sorry, flat out I can tell you, there is no case here because that has always been in play in a lot of amusement parks. It has nothing to do with someone's religious orientation. Nothing to do with that. It's the regulations because of the safety factor. It becomes a projectile. I've seen it. It happened 15 years ago. It was a rule where I was working. So, unfortunately, see, this is the other part of this. And this crazy PC, you can't really say what you think when you're going to get slaughtered for it. Because what's happened and what, of course, now CARE gets involved in this. And so you have Zeid Ramadan, who is the president of the Council on American Islamic Relations in New York, saying that in this heightened state of Islamophobia, a woman wearing a hijab is an easy target these days. And unfortunately, this turned ugly due to miscommunication. And so I would say this over and over again. The miscommunication was the automatically assuming, oh, this is because you're prejudiced against us and this is your fault, blah, 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 blah. And it's not. It is absolutely not, because it's something that's always in play because of things that have happened at amusement parks, you know? So, sorry. That's flat out they're wrong. And if CARE jumps on this and it gets bigger, it doesn't sound like the New York version of they're saying it was a miscommunication. He was smart to say that, because if it becomes this magnified issue, shame on CARE, because it's not. It has nothing to do with that, and the amusement park was 100% correct. So from that buzz in the backyards, because there's plenty of parks around the country and they're all dealing with the same thing, to this one, Maya Angelou gets into the debate over the MLK statue. And you've heard my take on this already. Why wasn't this statue done by an American artist? I don't understand. Not because I'm being, here's my $100 word, not because I'm being jingoistic, but because I think for what he meant as a civil rights leader, why wouldn't we have an American design this? Why wouldn't we have an American do it? And my biggest problem is the fact that we're pulling, just like everything else, let's get it from China. And the artist was terrific and all that. I mean, the sculpture, really. But then we're pulling in all these pieces from China. It's just so apropos for what's happening to us now each and every day in this country, right? So we get this statue that's now going to be one of our monuments in place in Washington. It's already there. And it's not even done by an American. So here's the thing. Maya Angelou decided she was going to react to this. And what she said is the inscription, the quote that they used was taken out of context and it makes him seem arrogant. And what the quote that she doesn't like is this one. I was a drum major for justice, peace, and righteousness. That's the inscription they chose on the 30-foot-tall statue of King. And I love how, because, you know, older people don't pull any punches. I don't care, you know, who they are or where they're from. It doesn't matter. She just said, you know, this is her quote. The quote makes Dr. Martin Luther King look like an arrogant twit. And she says she thinks it should be changed. Do you think they could get an American to change the inscription then, the quote? You think they could do that, hire someone to do that? I mean, she is right in a way. There's so many different things that they could have picked. The whole I Have a Dream deal, I mean, you know, that's the big thing. You could have picked pieces out. I mean, that was the one piece. Why would you pick that one? There's better things that could have been used on it in the first place. You know, I'm just saying.